Welcome all of you to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Nitya Krishna Das Prabhuji on the call today to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam 4.13.40 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Nanvat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for joining and giving your valuable association, Prabhuji. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Nanva pranams all of them, all the Vaishnavas. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrita naram caiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udiriyet nasta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashloke bhaktir bhagavati naishtiki. Hare Krishna, all devotees. So thank you for this opportunity to discuss this most glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. So today we'll read from Canto 4, Chapter 13, verses 40 until 46. So I'll read the English and the purport, and then on verse 46 we'll recite the Sanskrit and the purport, with your permission. So text 40 is as follows. After fixing his bow and arrow, the cruel boy used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill innocent deer. And as soon as he came, all the people would cry, "Here comes cruel Vena! Here comes cruel Vena!" Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt in the forest for purpose of learning the killing art, not to kill animals for eating or for any other purpose. The Kshatriya kings were sometimes expected to cut off the head of a culprit in the state. For this reason, the Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt in the forest. Because this son of King Anga, Vena, was born of a bad mother, he was very cruel, and he used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill the animals. All the neighboring inhabitants would be frightened by his presence, and they would call, "Here comes Vena! Here comes Vena!" So from the beginning of his life, he was fearful to the citizens. Text 41. The boy was so cruel that while playing with young boys of his age, he would kill them very mercilessly, and as if they were animals meant for slaughter. Text 42. After seeing the cruel and merciless behavior of his son, Vena, King Anga punished him in different ways to reform him, but was unable to bring him to the path of gentleness. He thus became greatly aggrieved. Text 43. The king thought to himself, "Persons who have no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives so that they would not have to suffer the unbearable happiness caused by a bad son." Text 44. A sinful son causes a person's reputation to vanish. His irreligious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel among everyone, and this creates only endless anxiety. In the purport, it is said that a married couple must have a son, otherwise their family life is void. But a son born without good qualities is as good as a blind eye. A blind eye has no use for seeing, but it is simply unbearably painful. The king therefore thought himself very unfortunate to have such a bad son. Text 45. Who, if he is considerate and intelligent, would desire such a worthless son? Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity, and he makes one's home miserable. In text 46, we'll just recite the Sanskrit word-for-word translation and purport. Gadapatyam varamanye sadapatya chukam padat nirvidyeta grahan martyo yat klesha nivaha graha. Gadapatyam, bad son. Varam, better. Manye, I think. Sat apatyat, that a good son. Shucham, of grief. Padat, the source. Nirvidyatya, become detached. Grahat, from home, Martya, a mortal man, yet because of whom, Klesha Nivaha, hellish, Graha, home. Translation. Then the king thought, a bad son is better than a good son, because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached. Purport. The king began to think in terms of attachment and detachment from one's material home. According to Prahlad Maharaj, the material home is compared to a blind well. If a man falls down into a blind well, it is very difficult to get out of it and begin life again. Prahlad Maharaj was advised that one give up this blind well of home life as soon as possible and go to the forest to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Vedic civilization, this giving up a home by vanaprastha and sannyas is compulsory. But people who are so attached to their homes that even up to the point of death they do not look to retire from home life. King Nanga, therefore thinking in terms of detachment, accepted his bad son as a good impetus for detachment from home life. He therefore considered his bad son his friend, since he was helping him in becoming detached from his home. Ultimately, one has to learn how to detach oneself from attachment to material life. Therefore, if a bad son, by his bad behavior, helps a householder to go away from his home, it is a boon. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshura militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam jadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutta parakamalam shri guru vaishnavamstha shri rupam sagajatam sahagana raghunatham itam tam sajivam sarvaitam savadutam paridana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri Shakamitamstra, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Nina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Rindavaneshwarim, Shabano Sute Devi, Pramami Hari Priye, Vanchakalpa, Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivari Paschatade Shatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, everyone. So we covered quite a few verses here, so we'll kind of back up to starting our discussion on verse 40 and make our way through up to verse 46. So just a little bit of introduction as to where we are in this chapter 13 of Canto 4. So in the beginning of this chapter, the glories of hearing Dhruva Maharaj's pastimes are explained to us. We've been relishing the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj for many chapters, and now we have come to hear the descendants of the great Dhruva Maharaj. And in the first verse, we see a very important result of hearing these pastimes, and Shukadeva Goswami is reciting from what Maitreya Muni says, that Vidura became very much enlightened in devotional emotion. This enlightening process occurs when we hear these very glorious and wonderful pastimes. This emotion of devotion is what we can hope to awaken in our heart, this mood of loving service. So we're very fortunate to be able to hear these pastimes and hope to have the same result that Vidura had of becoming very much enlightened. And Srila Prabhupada comments towards the end of the purports in the last chapter that devotees very much enjoy hearing
not only about Krishna's pastimes, but the pastimes of his devotees. And this hearing is very, very wonderful. And we see that Vidura is, his thirst for hearing is only increasing. It is never satiated. He's always wanting to hear more and more. And so in the beginning of this chapter, he inquires. He inquires from Maitreya about the verses that were spoken by Narada Muni in the end of the last chapter in the company of the Prachetas. And he asked about the Prachetas and the pastimes that were discussed there. And so we can see that he's wanting to hear more and more, not only about the Prachetas, but also about the different pastimes. And so Maitreya Muni begins to discuss the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj, leading his way to the Prachetas, which will take him actually to the end of this fourth canto before he reaches the answer to his question. And the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj were very glorious. And we know if there is a great devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, then certainly there must be descendants in his lineage that also have inspiring great stories that can, again, awaken this mood of devotion. And so Maitreya begins to discuss these different descendants, and he explains his first son was not eager to be king, took on a mood very similar to what we see of Jadabharat, and pretending to be foolish and lame such that he would not have to take to the throne. And that his younger son, Vatsara, would then assume the throne. And in the course of the lineage, we come to now this King Anga, who is referenced in this verse, and his very crooked son, Vena. And his son was cursed to die, and from his body there was a churning, and thus, some personalities emerged. And Vidura, stopped Maitreya and asked the questions. He said, well, wait a minute. How can a cruel son come in the line of Dhruva Maharaj and a great king like King Anga? So how is this possible? And he was also curious as to how and why the brahmanas, the rishis, they cursed the king. The king is to be respected and worshipped. Even if he is performing some sinful activities, he is to be respected. And so Vidura has asked these questions. And in some way you can see, it seems that Maitreya was very eager to get to the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj, and so gave a very summary of history through King Vena. But Vidura, for our fortune, has stopped and asked these questions, and so now we are in this section of verses from 25 through the end of this chapter, and all of next chapter, where we're hearing the more detailed pastimes of King Anga and his son Vena. And in the last verse that was discussed, I believe, on Friday, verse 39, we see how the cruel son was born, how this could happen, the first answer to Vidura's question. And we see the power of association. Bad association can lead to bad outcomes. And we can see over the history. But also good association can create great outcomes, like Srila Prabhupada. A moment with Srila Prabhupada was to uplift many King Vena-type personalities into perfect devotees. So this cuts both ways. So now, after discussing how this son was born, we now begin to hear the qualities of this son and what King Anga's reaction was to. And so this is verses 40 to 46. So in verse 40, we see that the characteristics, the specifics of King Vena's cruelty are being described. And he was a cruel boy, so cruel that people used to chant, "Here comes cruel Vena, here comes cruel Vena." Not a very glamorous announcement of one's arrival. And we can see why, that he was unnecessarily killing these animals. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Kshatriyas.
Yes.
Kshatriyas have a very difficult position. On the one hand, They have to be very loving and caring and protective of all. Yet on the other hand, they have to be very fierce, very strong, and very brave. You know, they have to be so brave that they're willing to die for others, to protect others on the battlefield. And so this position of Kshatriya, it requires a very soft heart and a very brave heart simultaneously. And this position is not so easy to manage. And you can see that Srila Prabhupada comments that why the Kshatriyas are given this sanction, they're allowed to hunt in the forest. And he gives this very kind of startling statement in the second sentence of the paragraph, that the Kshatriya kings were sometimes expected to cut off the head of a culprit in the state. So you can imagine, you know, the difficult position the Kshatriyas were in. But they were acting in such ways for the protection of society. So inspired by their position and duty, but out of the kindness of their heart to protect all, sometimes they had to perform very difficult tasks, like cutting off the head of somebody. And in such way, they were given an opportunity to hunt in the forest as a means to learn this art and to practice this art. But this hunting was not just mercilessly hunting. It was under the sanction of Shastra. It was not to satisfy one's belly, as Prabhupada writes, you know, not for eating or any other purpose, but simply for the purpose of carrying out this duty. And we know that, you know, they were not hunting like modern-day hunters. You know, modern-day hunters think themselves very brave, you know, to sit far away with a gun or a bow hiding somewhere. You know, in this type of Kshatriya challenge, it was hand-to-hand with a small spear or dagger. They would face very ferocious animals. They would also not kill innocent animals. In this verse, we see innocent, the word innocent, deer. And deer is broadly refined to many innocent animals. But this was, you know, taking on very ferocious animals. And so like this, Kshatriyas were given this great responsibility. But Vena, he had an insensitivity, we can see. You know, when someone is unnecessarily creating harm, it is a sign of insensitivity. And this insensitivity, it develops. We may wonder, how does it develop? Well, it develops often from pride. When I am prideful of my position, I minimize the position of others. And it leads to this insensitive realm. Yeah. I think myself greater. These little animals, who are they? They're not significant. But we know that the great sages and the great personalities, they see that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. And they think themselves to be also part and part of Krishna. But this prideful position can lead to this insensitivity. And so King Vena is showing a disregard for these innocent animals and thus killed. And this insensitivity we see today in the world in such dramatic, hypocritical ways. And I was seeing one article about a person, and he was very much lamenting the harmful effects of the oil industry and the fracking process in the animals. And he was spent many months researching and found, you know, different birds were harmed by this activity. And it's very, very true and very fair. His sensitivity to those animals is very kind. Yet in the same realm, during his months of study, how many birds he might have killed to feed his belly, to satisfy his tongue. So we see this sensitivity is in many ways is very, very hypocritical in today's realm. But the Kshatriyas, the great Kshatriyas, were very, very noble in their efforts. They understood when was the time to use their great skill in fighting, their great power. It was used to protect society. not out of anger, not out of pride, or not out of protecting their own fame or position even, but it was to protect society that they would embark on such activities. So King Ravana at this point, not yet king, has clearly not taken to that that mood of a proper Kshatriya and is unnecessarily killing. In verse 41, we see that his cruelty actually was limitless. He was even willing and killing the young boys of his age when they were playing. We can just imagine the horrific scene of such a child behaving. We see children on the playground or in school, and yes, there's some quarrel, there's some disagreement, but not to this degree, where Vena was so cruel that he was even willing to kill young boys as if they were animals. You can see the very degraded position that Vena was in. And so King Anga's response, we see in verse 42. King Anga's response was to try to correct. That is the position of father. Father must raise the child in a way that is based on good principles. And so we see in verse 42 that King Anga punished him in different ways. And the purpose of punishment must be for the purpose of purification, meaning to help someone improve, to help someone correct a behavior, some punishment is inflicted. We see in society there are correctional facilities. We call the jails correctional facilities. That punishment is meant for correction. So like that, King Anga was trying to bring him to the path of gentleness. But despite his efforts, despite his sincere efforts, he was unsuccessful. And so we also see that ultimately we are not in control. Yeah, we must try to do our best, but it is not ultimately our control. So King Anga performed his duty as father and provided good counsel, instruction, and ultimately even some punishment. But again, the punishment is for the purpose of purification. So we should be very mindful of the purity of our mood when we have to correct someone, whether it's our family member, whether it's in different temple settings, based on our position. We must be very careful. What is my mood for this corrective behavior? It must be out of compassion and love. Clearly, King Anga was desirous of his son, who he had some affection for, to improve, to correct these activities. But unable to correct, we now see King Anga's mood. And from 43 to 46, we'll see that his mood actually starts on one end, and as he thinks about it more and more, he flips his initial inclinations. And this is very instructive to us. Because when we encounter difficult things, sometimes our initial reaction, our knee-jerk reaction, is not so good or beneficial. But with good, calm thought and introspection, we can actually see the good in all. And we'll see how King Anga, by the end of his analysis of this situation, sees that actually this cruel son is a blessing in disguise. But he begins in verse 43 with his reaction, saying that the king thought to himself, persons who have no sons are certainly fortunate. And this is very counter to our conventional wisdom, conventional thinking. But his experience of having such a cruel son, he said, better to have no son than such a bad son. And he begins to then explain in the 44th verse that what is the consequences of a bad son. And the first thing is the reputation. One's reputation is vanished. And the religious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel. So King Anga understood the purpose of family life
the purpose of having a home, the grihastha ashram, it is for creating a very spiritual and peaceful setting to help enable all members of the family to make progress in devotional life. And so a bad son who creates harm to such setting, who creates such a difficult opportunity for others to take to Krishna consciousness, is very bad and can be rejected at that point. But interestingly, in this verse also, there's the concept of reputation. And I wanted to speak a minute about this. You know, one's reputation is harmed, and it is certainly the case. But in spiritual life, we understand that our reputation, our position is not so important for our own preservation. And sometimes in the mood of parenting, this reputation is what we parent for. You know, we get angry at our children out of our own pride and reputation, you know, that we push them hard to protect our own status, thinking what is best for them is what is best for us. We forget in our mood that we try to push and push and develop our children, sometimes even in spiritual life. You know, we push our children sometimes too much in the spiritual life, you know, wanting to enhance our own position. Oh, what will people think if my children do not do this? What will they think of me? You know, so we can try to understand that, you know, is my pushing, is my coaching, is my correcting, is it for the good of me or is it the good of them as spirit soul and also as part and parcel of Krishna? So we can ask ourselves that question, you know, in our parenting efforts, which is never an easy task. And as you can see, King Anga is struggling with this task of parenting. It's a difficult position to be in, but a great one as well, because a great opportunity to bring more of Krishna's children back home to Godhead. So now in verse 45, he continues his lamentation, suggesting that he makes one's home miserable, right? It's a very difficult situation. So finally now in verse 46, we'll spend some time discussing this very wonderful verse. We see the flip of King Ganga's mood, because he was very learned, had great teachings in his life. He was able to come to see the ultimate purpose of this action, of this outcome in his life. And he says, I'll just read the verse again just for a reminder. The king thought, a bad son is better than a good son, because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very detached. So this bad son, he's saying, is better than a good son. Now again, very, you know, counterintuitive. Everybody prays for, please give me a good son, please give me a good son. So we can see that sometimes, you know, our initial reactions are actually opposite. And we see this in the material world, right? Our inclinations are to enjoy more sense gratification. But the actual pleasure of life comes from eliminating all of our sense gratification and enhancing Krishna's sense enjoyment, pleasing Krishna's senses. Completely counterintuitive or opposite of what we see in society. And thus King Anga's mood has shifted 180 degrees. So now this attachment to family, it's a very delicate topic. I feel like I'm entering hot waters. We'll have to be careful how we discuss this attachment to family. So at the highest level, in broad topics, attachment to material things are bad for us. Attachment to material life is very, very dangerous. And we see this over and over again. You know, just last week we were celebrating Ram Navami.
And we see that what attachment did to someone like Ravana, who had everything. And but due to his uncontrolled attachment, lust, he lost everything. Everything he lost. Now, and with Vidura here, we can think back to his instruction to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was attached to the throne. So attached that it led him down a path of so many heinous activities that he was encouraging his own sons to perform so many bad activities. And in the end, he lost everything. All 100 of his sons, gone. So this attachment led to his destruction. Vidura had to pull him out of the home of Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, you are staying here like a pet in the home of those you had tormented so much. You must now detach. So this attachment to material life, we know to be very, very dangerous. But detachment must be coupled with attachment to something. If we just detach to material life and we don't attach to something good, we end up in this, you know, very precarious position. And this is what Srila Prabhupada always speaks about, you know, of the jnanis. The jnanis have detached from matter, knowing it to be temporary, knowing themselves to be spirit, but they haven't yet attached to Krishna. And because of the nature of the soul being active, it must be attached to something. And so if that detachment is not coupled with positive attachment, one will fall back to the material world. So when we speak about detachment, we must also couple it with what is to attach. And Lord Ram showed us this very wonderfully. You know, we see that he was detached from the throne. He did not have any care for the throne. When the coronation ceremony and his kingship was ripped away, he was unmoved because he was fully detached from that position of the king. But he was attached to something. And what he was attached to was the instructions and wishes of his father. And so if his father's instruction was to go to the forest, so be it. He was equally pleased to the other side, which would be him being king. He was not attached to the position. He was attached to the instructions of his father, to the principles of righteousness. So when we speak about attachment and detachment, we need to think about both sides. That this detachment from family and attachment to Krishna. Now, this detachment from family has to be taken into very careful context and understood because it can be taken out of context and lead to some not so good outcomes. So when we speak about attachment to family, we're speaking about over-attachment. And Srila Prabhupada in this verse references Prahlad Maharaj, that according to Prahlad Maharaj, the material home is compared to a blind well. And we know in this very famous verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, 5th chapter, 5th verse, Prahlad Maharaj is being asked by his father, you know, what he has learned in school. And his father is being very affectionate to him, very proud, and brings him on his lap. And Prahlad Maharaj very, very wonderfully says, you know, oh, best of the asuras. He's calling his father the best of the demons. And he says that, you know, as far as I've learned, anyone who's attached to this temporary household life is embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen into a dark well. So he's comparing this, you know, attachment to household life as a dark well. And Srila Prabhupada comments that the dark well is like this, because once you are stuck in a dark well, it's very difficult to get out. It's very difficult to get out and resume your life again. So the analogy of us coming from the spiritual, we have fallen into this dark well. And in a dark well, there is not so much enjoyment. It is suffering. It is struggle for existence. That is the whole material world. And so the point here is that the over-attachment can trap us. Over-attachment to family can trap us. And we forget the real purpose of our life. And, you know, we speak about, you know, taking the process of devotional service. And sometimes we come into sometimes in our own experience and in others we may be speaking with, that, you know, this desire to take the bhakti. Well, you know, I have to, you know, still settle myself. And once we've settled ourselves, then we start having children. Then I have to raise my children, so, you know, I'll take the bhakti later. Then our children are raised. And then we have to get them into college. And then we have to, you know, make sure they finish well in college. Then we have to get them married. And then we have to have, you know, children. Oh, then I have to help them take care of their children. And like this, as Prabhupada says, up until death, we are immersed in this family life. And the consequences of such, this consequence of attachment, is that we don't have the opportunity to attach to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often tells the story of the man who was so attached to his family that at the end of his life he was still contemplating, after creating so much wealth and so much facilities for his family to be living, he was still so attached that he came back in his next life and was a servant in that home. And those same people that he was so attached to were now beating him with shoes and chastising him. This is the reward for such attachment. So, you know, the question then becomes, well then, is family life bad? No, of course not. We know that Grihastha Ashram is a magnificent, very significant ashram to create great spiritual success. In our own sampradaya, we see so many wonderful examples of Grihastha Ashram being executed so wonderfully. Just within Panchatattva, Lord Nityananda entered Grihastha Ashram. Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, so many associates, and continuing through, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had wonderful children. So the Grihastha Ashram is a very wonderful ashram from which to make spiritual progress. But we need the right type of attachment. Right? Our attachment to our family should be attachment to the spiritual success of our family, not to the bodily success of our family. You know, sometimes those get, you know, intertwined or misconstrued. Our attachment becomes very strong to their education, to their social position, to their marital status, to their wealth, to their health. These are all bodily symptoms. But our attachment to family should be on the lens of attachment to their spiritual success. Just like we know we are not the body, our relationships with even our family are not on the bodily platform, but we can see them from the spiritual family. So again, family life is a great opportunity to bring more and more souls back to their eternal home, including our own family. So when we speak about detachment, and we see King Unga's mood of detachment, detachment from family does not mean that we don't take our responsibility. Once we enter Grihastha Ashram, we have a great responsibility to care for and to protect those who are dependent upon us. So detachment from family must come in the right time, the right place and circumstance. And that time is when, you know, our dependents, our children, have come to an age in which they can become self-sufficient. And at that time, it is time to, as we say in the Western world, cut the umbilical cord, you know. We sometimes resist cutting that umbilical cord. We are trying, maintaining. But the great kings, they showed us the way. They raised their children with great care and attention, with great love, taught them right from wrong, brought them up, taught them how to live a noble and spiritual life. And by the time they reach approximately the age of 25, then what happened? The great kings would enter Anaprasthashram. They would renounce. They would detach. The detachment was not in the early ages when the child was incapable of maintaining themselves. So this detachment comes when the childs are ready. But we must make sure that we don't become over-attached. But this detachment we know is very difficult. Because out of love and affection is very natural, this detachment is very, very difficult. So King Anga is thinking, wow, this bad son is actually a blessing. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But you know, the attachment, again, we're speaking about here is over-attachment. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice parenting formula. And he explains that, you know, from birth to age 5, we should be very lenient to let children play and be express their playful mood with very little to no restrictions. They should be just kids. But starting from age 5 to 10, you know, we should start to teach them and show them and guide them and have some discipline. And from age 10 to 15, we should have very strict discipline, very strong guidance, because this is the ripe age in which the children begin to explore, and we should guide them with great, you know, discipline. But from 15 and beyond, he says, at this point, we should just become their friend. At this point, whatever they have learned, whatever we have done, now our only opportunity is to become their friend. This was Srila Prabhupada's formula. He's not guiding us that, you know, we must maintain our children until they are 40, 50, 60 years old. No. Because ultimately, we have a higher purpose in life. And our ultimate purpose is to regain and awaken our relationship with Krishna. So this detachment, we see, it occurs not just in the sannyas ashram. Detachment is also in the grihastha ashram. And it takes great discipline. It takes great discipline to be detached not only before one enters vanaprastha, but during this grihastha ashram. And to be detached from the comforts of material life, to be detached from the social activities, detached from so many things. It's very difficult, but it requires that to have successful grihastha life. And ultimately, one should enter vanaprastha ashram. Is vanaprastha ashram, you know, vana means to the forest. One should, you know, maybe not so practical in today's realm, but the concept holds that, you know, once one's children are raised to a certain age, we can, you know, detach from the active engagement of managing and focus on our spiritual life. And by that activity, we'll also bring great success to our children. Because ultimately, again, you know, we should be focused on the success of our children in their spiritual journey. Yes, the material journey can be a means to the end of spiritual success, but just focusing on, you know, their material success can be very, very dangerous for their own progress in devotional life. So like this, King Anga is being, you know, is grateful for this hellish home that the bad son creates, because it facilitates his detachment. But this detachment, again, we must take in context. It's the over-attachment that we are being warned to avoid. Of course, we have a great responsibility, having entered grihastha ashram, to care for and protect our children and make sure that they, you know, are trained with the right understanding, so that as they enter the world on their own, that they understand how to make good decisions in life. So that is our great responsibility. But ultimately, we have to leave our children at some point to make their own decisions and focus on our spiritual life. And that is what they, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this over and over and over again. Unlike today's modern day, either in local circles Prabhupada always talks about the great kings, the political leaders today, they die in office. But that was not the way our great king showed us in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The final point I would like to make on this is that, how King Unga responded to difficulty. It is a great lesson for us. One's greatness can be measured by how they respond to difficulty. And, Bhrigu Muni was set out to put this exact test in place. They had the great sages. They wanted to see who was greatest. And so they said they sent Bhrigu Muni, to inflict some difficulty on three personalities. And they were going to judge by the response to that difficulty who was greatest. And we all know the story with Bhrigu Muni insulting Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Vishnu with words, action, and physical difficulty. So this response to difficulty, we know, it is a great measure of one's greatness. And King Yunga is displaying his great position because he sees that this bad son, think how cruel son, is killing other children and innocent animals. What our mood would be, with such a son. But King Unga was able to see it actually as a great blessing because the son was increasing his detachment. The detachment, which ordinarily is very difficult, he is seeing it as an instrument to help him because ultimately he knows his goal in life is to attach to Krishna. But to attach to Krishna requires us to detach from so many other things. And it's difficult. So he sees that this is actually a blessing. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. This is the beauty of approaching Krishna. Yes, he may fulfill our desires, but he fulfills them in a way that is helpful to our ultimate desire, which is spiritual success. King Unga wanted a son. And he got a son that would help him succeed in spiritual life. May not be the son he thought he wanted. And this way is very, very instructive for us. We have so many thoughts of what we want. But if we surrender to Krishna and let his plan play out, we can have faith that his plan ultimately will bring us to success in spiritual life. When we get pain and suffering, we can see it also as a friend that is helping us detach from this material world. The whole material world is full of suffering, and we should be grateful for it. Imagine if this material world was full of delight, how we would ever come to reawakening our eternal relationship with Krishna. The difficulties we face in this material world are our greatest blessing because they are constant reminders. Detach. This is not your eternal position. So the ability to see such is a measure of one's progress, one measure of one's character. And by taking to the process of devotional service, we can hope and pray to be able to have this vision that the difficulties we face in life, we can understand them to be yet just a reminder to detach from these things and to attach to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So don't hate the instrument of our suffering. Use it for inspiration to overcome the suffering. Don't become adverse or develop hatred towards this suffering. Use it as an instrument to overcome it. And that overcoming it happens by surrendering to Krishna. And if we study the pastimes of so many wonderful people described in Srimad Bhagavatam, our great acharyas. We see difficulties that are faced. Srila Prabhupada encountered so much difficulty in his process of fulfilling the order of his spiritual master. Yet that difficulty was a source of fueling his surrender and intensity of desire to serve. He was not lamenting the suffering, but saw it as simply an opportunity to increase his preaching mission. And so like that, when we face difficulties, we can think back to this very shocking verse where King Anga says that a bad son is better than a good one. We may think, why? And see the deeper understanding, because it is fueling our detachment and helping us attach to the spiritual world. So these are verses 40 to 46, teaching us about the mood of the Kshatriya, who must be very loving and caring, yet also very powerful and brave and ferocious, carrying both moods and emotions simultaneously, not a very easy position. And this bad son ultimately initially was the source of King Anga's lamentation, just like when we face difficulties, we lament. But with good introspection, like King Anga, we can see it as a blessing. This detachment from family life is important. Not detachment from the duties to protect and raise our family, but from the over-attachment that creates an obstacle to our spiritual success. When our children and our dependents are raised to an age, we can cut the umbilical cord and begin to take very seriously to our spiritual life. And our attachment to family should be attachment for their spiritual success, not just their bodily success. Yeah, there may need some material success to enable their spiritual success, but let us not lose sight of the ultimate purpose of our attachment to family. And finally, to see that the difficulties in life are actually a blessing from Krishna, helping us to detach from these things that are obstacles in our path of emotional service. So this is some of the lessons we understand from verses 40 to 46. So with this, I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Any corrections, clarifications, discussion, questions you can take now?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Please accept my humble. You have explained very nicely. So I just have a little, I want to understand more. So that's why I'm just asking you this question. That Anga had a son, the Vayana, he was in the bad son. So then before he was lamenting, that he tried to put him to right path, but he couldn't do it, and it was bad son. So it's a blessing. He understood that this is a blessing, that I could become detached from the family land, from the house and like that. So then how about, Vedic tradition is also there, that the son does the pinda after the father passes away, they do pinda and all this, also offer the shraddha and everything. So that way, that would benefit the ancestors as well. So when the bad son is there, then he's not going to do anything. So could you just enlighten me on this case? Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanwat Pranam. Thank you for your questions. So this, the importance of the role of son in our Vedic samskaras is very nicely explained, as you said, that the son plays an important role in performing various ceremonies after our departure. And these ceremonies are very important. But Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that when one comes to bhakti, to the process of devotional service, all such Vedic rites and ceremonies and rituals are already performed in one's practice of devotional service. So when one is surrendered to Krishna, has taken to the process of devotional life, there is nothing else required to ensure success. And that is why Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma, all other dharma, you can give it up, abandon it all, and just Mamekam, surrender unto me alone. So by our process of surrendering to Krishna in performing devotional service, ultimately there is no need for one to even perform that ceremony for us, because we have surrendered to Krishna. He is going personally protecting us. He says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says that to my devotee, I am the swift deliverer. He says, I am their deliverer. Not somebody else who may perform some ritual or rite. So for the devotee, there is nothing else required, nothing additional, no other duties are required to be performed. Now one may perform those duties still. One may perform that, like we know, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went and performed. But the devotee understands that by the practice of devotional service, it is all-inclusive. Nothing is left out. And that assurance Krishna gives in the 8th chapter very, very specifically. The very last verse of 8th chapter, Krishna says that in bhakti, one gets the benefits of all other rituals and all other sacrifices and all other processes. And on top of that, one additional thing is granted in bhakti that nothing else can give, and that is returning back home to Godhead. So we can have faith that by taking to the process of devotional service, you know, whether we have sun or not, whether that sun is, you know, cultured enough to perform this ceremony or not, by our sincere practice in devotional service, it'll be nothing else is required. That is the ultimate of all duties. And so Srila Prabhupada comments that one has actually no other duties to perform once one has come to the process of devotional service. So we can have faith in the potency of bhakti, the power of devotional service, that everything will be attended to nicely. It's okay, Mataji?
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful answer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Damodar Anand Das from Bloomington, Illinois. Thank you very much for your time and your dedication for taking this class. Prabhuji, I have a couple of observations and one question. Thank you very much for comparing the son of Anga, that's Vena, and then son of Hiranyakashipu, who is Alad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu was very upset with his son because he was in the path of devotional service. But given the chance, he would have been very happy to exchange Vena for his son. So that's what he wanted. That kind of he wanted. But given the mood of Anga Maharaj, just like Kunti Maharani, who wanted a lot of calamities in the life so she could be closer to Krishna. So here, in my opinion, Anga Maharaj is making lemonade out of a lime lemon that is being served. So he's thinking that, you know, because his son is so bad, it's taking him closer to Krishna and detaching him from material life, right?
Yes, yes. Very nice.
So that is the understanding. But at the same time, you know, everybody wants a good son, and then it is said that that actually gets us entangled in the karmic affairs. Because, you know, everybody wants a good son who will get a good degree, he'll get a good job, he'll get a good wife, then he'll have children, then he'll have grandchildren. The thing goes on and on. But I think the definition of a good son is what Prahlad Maharaj is. Even though, you know, he will listen, he'll do it, but he is in the mode of goodness. So the example of a good son that's given is more in the mode of passion. Good son definition should be the one who will bring you still closer to the God, despite being nice and doing all those duties. Is that so,
Prabhu? Yeah, it's a very nice point. First of all, I appreciate your comment about Hiranyakashipu probably would have enjoyed a son like Vena. That's a very nice observation, and it's true, because of consciousness, and King Anga would have very much enjoyed a son like Prahlad Maharaj. So that's a nice observation. In terms of good son, you kind of answered the question in the question, which is that what is good? Good is spiritual success. So when we say we want a good son, you know, that doesn't mean that we have a son that is a doctor, or the son that has, you know, great wealth, or a son that has, you know, a perfect engineer, or can play the piano so well. These are all the things, or some of them at least, that we aspire our son to be, or daughter to be. Let's speak a little bit more broadly even. But as you said, that the good that we want to bring in our children is their devotional service, their devotional life. And a mother and father can know that, you know, a great child can help themselves in their spiritual life, right? So, like Prahlad Maharaj was able to deliver his father. Prahlad Maharaj's devotion was able to deliver Hiranyakashipu. When Prahlad Maharaj asked for deliverance of his father, Nrisingadev said, well, he is already delivered because you have become my devotee. So the mood of a mother and father is to help their children, you know, not for the selfish purpose of saving them, but for the purpose of, you know, returning them, you know, their children back to God, and the side effect of helping ourselves. So what is good, we have to be very mindful of. And the challenge we have is society has a different definition of good. And so we, you know, sometimes fall victim to playing the game that society plays. You know, society defines good as, you know, if your children are doing X, Y, and Z. And if you bring your children to Krishna consciousness, you'll be blasphemed in society. You'll be ridiculed, sometimes within your own family even. And that's where it becomes difficult. And that's where we have to have good, you know, spiritual understanding, to have confidence in the path we are on, in spite of, you know, so much public perception. Because public perception is exactly 180 degrees in opposition of what is actually good. So, yes, we should pray for a good son. We should, you know, nurture our children to be good. But the definition of good, we have to be very clear on. And that is their spiritual life. Thank you for your comment.
Excellent. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Very instructive points about King Vena and all the pastimes. So if anybody is having any questions or comments to Prabhuji today? Yeah. If there are no comments or questions, Prabhupada, I think we can end the call here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Satyatana, Vaishnavasya Namaha, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Ki Jai, Namacharya, Shri Lahari Das Chakur Ki Jai, Shri Lahari Das Chakur Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.